Hi there, and welcome to A Different Way of Seeing. Have you ever wondered how a disabled person lives their life? Join our host, Lois Drachen, as she chats to people about work, education, travel, sport, the arts, and leisure, and the tools and techniques they use to live their lives with the disability. And now, on with the show.
Hi there. If you'd like to find out more about my best-selling memoir, A Different Way of Seeing, stay tuned after the interview. Hi there, and welcome to today's episode of A Different Way of Seeing, a podcast where we talk all things disability. I'm your host, Lois Drachen. And today I'm talking to a woman for whom I have an immense amount of respect. Notokela Makoliso. Welcome to A Different Way of Seeing. You and I met a few months ago when we were both speaking at the same event, and I was completely blown away by your storytelling and the power of the message that you had to share. It is so good to see you again and to have you on the show with me.
Hi, Lois. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
It's really great. I'm so appreciate the time that you've taken today to chat to myself and everyone in my community. So, Notokela, can you start off by just telling us a little bit about yourself and your story?
Yes. It's so significant that we've been talking about doing this interview, and our schedule have aligned during Disability Pride Month. So I'm really, really happy and excited that we are doing it now. My story is a funny one. I like to explain myself simply as the manifestation of God's love and grace and mercy. I was involved in a car accident 2 years ago where I should have never made it out there alive. And here I am, walking and rolling, a pure miracle. But I'm a mom. I'm a mother. That's my biggest achievement and my biggest why I do what I do. I'm a businesswoman. I'm a disability advocate. Very passionate, and my work within civil society led me to politics. So I also do a bit of politics as well. But most importantly, I'm a daughter of the Most High God.
I didn't know until we started speaking this afternoon that you had been involved in the recent elections in South Africa, and we were just chatting about that. So I was totally kind of thrilled to hear that you had taken that step into politics. So
had we secured enough votes, you would officially be talking to a shadow minister for social development. But we didn't get enough votes. I was number six on the Action Essays national parliamentary list, and we only managed to get six seats. But I'm very happy that we still have representation within parliament.
Absolutely. I'm certain that you must be. So you mentioned that you were injured in a motor vehicle accident, and as a result of which you were very lucky to escape from that alive. Tell us about the consequences of that accident, of your rehabilitation and your life since then.
That was an interesting time. You know, it was so life-altering because I literally drove out of my driveway on the 24th of December, going to my business in town. Then I came back 4 months later being driven on a wheelchair. I had lost my business. It closed down 2 months into my 4 months hospital stay. And naturally, I used to be a lecturer in the university. I had to get someone else to give my classes. So I lost my job as well. So my life has turned completely upside down. And as a single mom, my kids were still going to school. I still had to find a way to make do. But most importantly, I now had to find a way to recover. So it was a very interesting time that completely turned my life upside down. But you know what? Today, life has never been the same, and I'm okay with that.
That's a very positive approach to take to what happened to you. How long did it take you to adjust to your new situation and to start moving forwards again?
I cannot give it a time frame because it's a journey, you know. Healing is a journey. So I had a period where it was just pure survival. Having to find an alternative way to get it done or it will not get done. Which then led me to a new part of my journey, which was the journey of discovery for me. And at that stage, when I was starting to find out, but I can drive. I just can't drive with both my hands because now I'm hemiplegic. My 1 week hand, I won't be able to use it. So I was learning to do things differently. Hence the term differently able started to really resonate with me for my personal journey. So it started making sense that no, having acquired a disability is not the end of the road. Could be seen as the beginning of the road, a different chapter. And I was quite enjoying not feeling like a bird that's got its wings clipped off, you know. I was starting to find a different way of existing and living life fully. That's important for your healing journey. And for you to be able to find purpose again. For me, it was very crucial. I had to learn who I was in this new chapter. And why is it that I was granted a second opportunity at life? And that discovery continues. So quite immediately, survival mode, but you have to be intentional about the healing and the recovery and the discovery period that comes after that.
Was there a moment during your recovery that was pivotal in shifting your perspective between feeling like someone who's had a bird who's had their wings clipped and someone who is able to fly free, but just to fly in a different way?
That's a very good one. I think because I had existed in life without a disability, now having to face situations in life where I was pretty much unseen, I was invisible. So I remember quite frankly the first day I went with my carer to the traffic department. And we were shown to go to the teller. And even though she was driving me, so I was in front of her, and I started greeting the gentleman. I speak isiXhosa, I speak English. And so when he didn't respond to me in English, immediately I would switch to isiXhosa and he still didn't respond. And then when he finally decided to give us his attention, his focus was on my carer. Completely ignored me. And that's the first time when I stood up for myself. At the end of that interaction, I asked him to kindly call his manager. And when I got home, I made sure I got a hold of the Embassy of Transport in the Western Cape. A week later, he was no longer working in the traffic department. But that was a pivotal moment for me, not because of me complaining of being treated badly, but because I had spoken up. He was then called for a disciplinary hearing, and it came out that he had many other skeletons that he had not dealt with. So he then opted to resign before he had to have them, their disciplinary hearing. But what was important to me in that time is that I had taken back my power.
It's amazing. It's amazing how regularly we experience that problem where we are invisible to other people because of our disabilities, that they are so uncomfortable with the concept of disability that they just cannot see us and acknowledge us and respect us for the human being's strength we have. And I respect the stand that you took there. I wonder to what degree the traffic department then engaged in sensitization training, disability awareness training. Do you know whether that resulted from the interaction?
I still go to the same traffic department for all my needs. The manager of the traffic department came to my house to meet with me on instruction of the MEC, of course. So I am in contact with them. And every time I go there, everything is done accordingly. I never wait in a queue. And when I hear that someone with a disability is struggling, then I intervene because I understand that I have that connection with them. There is definitely a willingness from their side to do what is right. But people will always be people. And they're just really been disappointed by that one particular person.
Yeah. But as you said, the positive consequence of that engagement was you realizing your ability to take back your power. And what an amazing journey it's been since that moment.
Absolutely. That was the start of my self-advocacy. Not knowing that that too would lead to me becoming a voice for the voiceless, because I would not keep quiet during that time when someone was attempting to take away my voice. So it has stood up for me because it was the first time that I stood up for myself. But I cherish it because I tell that story when I tell young people to take back their urgency, to take back their human dignity, and to stand up for themselves. Now, something is really is powerful about our self-advocacy. It allows others to take back their power as well.
That is so true. And part of the result of the journey that you've been on has been that you are currently the managing director of the NFI. So tell us about the NFI and some of the work that you're doing.
I think that the NFI was established as part of the rebel in me just not wanting to give in. As I started the foundation in 2019, I acquired my disability in 2017, but I was unable to get a job after acquiring a disability. And I realized that the job market was telling me that I'm not enough. And I would not accept that. And I decided to start my foundation to help others who had been through what I was going through, the trauma that I had experienced. And then fast forward, COVID came through. I was not able to do a lot of work for those years. After COVID, and then we started really forming relationships with organizations that work with persons with disabilities in the townships around Cape Town and really making an impact. So the NFI does storytelling. It's important for us to tell our own stories. So that was not the inception of it. The inception of it was counseling and mentoring and training because of my background in academia. And that soon became annual events that we do for persons with disabilities, whether we are capacitating the entrepreneur to be able to be competitive in the market, to access markets and so on. Or we are focusing on women during Women's Month, capacitating them to reach for their dreams, whether they want to study, whether they want employment, or other people don't want to be employed, they want to own their own time. We help them to craft a way to attain those dreams. And then we also have the Broken Crying Still Colorfully Awards for strong disability advocates. So in the first year, we awarded Dr. Marlene LaRue from ASCAPE, Dr. Karen Smith, and my absolute fave, and a woman who has had a huge contribution in my life, Lydia Pretorius. In the second year, we awarded the social entrepreneur, people like Shona from Shona Equip, people who have turned their pain into purpose and who are servicing the economy not only the disability sector. And this year we are on our way to Women's Month, and my team is working hard on awarding the ordinary heroes for on a day-to-day basis, the people who run the ECD centers. And when the parents don't have money, they don't turn those kids away. They still love them and feed them and. But that's just some of the few things that the NFI does. And then we also do storytelling. We have NFI production. We have 100% person with disabilities choir, as well as a theater group where we are able to put together exciting stories and tell our own stories in an exciting way, in an entertaining way, but the message is authentic and real. So the NFI is my happy place. It's a place where we do weird and wonderful things to help persons with disabilities fully live their lives and to thrive.
I think when you and I met, we spoke about the importance of showing people with disabilities what can be available. Because so often people are deprived of even knowledge of some of the things that are out there in the world that they are able to engage with. So I love the work that you're doing. And I know whenever we and I speak, you're busy with something. You're on your way to somewhere or just on your way back from an event or a product, you know, you are constantly giving time and energy to increase awareness and opportunities, and all respect to yourself and the NFI for that work.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Now, you describe yourself as a social justice activist. Is there work that you're doing, I mean, over and above the disability sector, or is your focus mostly on the disability sector with your social justice activism?
I am going to say over and above. But the sector is my core. This is where I belong. This is my constituency. In 2021, during COVID, when everything was on a go slow, I applied to be part of the Future Elect Foundation, their fellowship for public leadership. That was in 2021 that I was designated that fellowship. And fast forward, last year, Action SA came to me. Actually, Action SA, someone from Action SA saw me at a public speaking event. We're talking about the disability rights being human rights, during Human Rights Month. And I left that event shortly after I spoke because I had something else to do. So I didn't get to meet them. And they found me somehow and we set up a meeting. And they were looking for someone who would head up their disability forum for the Western Cape. So now this for me, after I had done the fellowship for public service, My postgrad degree was political science. God had been preparing me to go into politics. or service in general, because I love people. And I always want to effect change in people's lives positively. So I spent the better part of 2023 running my business, running the foundation, and also servicing Action SA as the chairperson for the Western Cape Disability Forum. Prior to the elections, then they asked me if I would please apply for parliament, because they need diverse voices in parliament, and they want someone who will stand not only person with disabilities, but the poor and vulnerable in South Africa. So this is now why I'm saying my activism is not just about us as a disability sector, but all the vulnerable. I am quite big on intersection. I always advocate for all minority groups in our community. I love this month because it's the Pride Month, which is after the Pride Month in June. For the LGBT community. So my heart for service does go beyond disability, but disability is really what reawakened my consciousness and brought me back to wanting to serve people and wanting to fight injustice.
And part of the work that you're doing and part of the tools that you use in your work, your life, is that of storytelling. Have you always been a storyteller, or is this something that another skill that has developed really since you became disabled?
I think I've always loved storytelling. But since I acquired a disability, it was Lindiwe Mazibuko, our former parliament member. He's now the CEO, co-founder of Future Elect, who said, it's important for us to take ownership of authorship. Because when you tell a story, the author is always the hero. So if we are going to dispel the many theories and false things that are out there about disabilities, the stereotypes, we need to tell our own stories. And if we fail to do so, someone else will do it. And we will have no chance, no charge of what perspective they tell those from. So I made it my duty to tell our own stories with authenticity, with quality, and dignity. So I absolutely love telling stories. I think it's crucial. And it's a very important part of the NFI. We love telling our stories. We love telling African stories. And we sing whilst we do it. We act while we do it. There's always laughter and love. We've explored the fun part of storytelling. And taking back the narrative of the disability story and making sure that we have representation within the media, making sure that we are visible, because a lot of these people are not given opportunities because simply how their bodies present.
Yeah.
So it's important to create that space for us.
I think so much of what you're saying resonates with me back to the word that you used earlier, that of agency.
Yeah.
And the importance of controlling the narrative around disability. For far too long, that has been owned and controlled by people without disabilities who feel that they have the ability and the position to tell our stories. And we know so well that often the stories that are told are those of triumph or of trauma. And that is only a very limited part of the experience of living every day of your life with a disability. So that word agency for me is so, so fundamental to what I'm hearing you say.
Very true. Very, very true.
Now, another part of your bio that I see, it's on your website, is that you are a writer. Is that also related to your storytelling, to journalism? Tell us about your writing.
I've always been a writer. I don't always have a lot of time to write. So I've opted to do, because I write short stories and I blog. So I call it Literature in a Hurry. And I feel like I have so many books inside of me. And part of the blessing of not having gone into public office is that very soon I'm going to publish a book.
Ooh, exciting.
But I have so many things that I must share. And writing has been a way of just also healing. It's very, yeah, it's very healing for me. So I write to let the world know what I'm about. I write to, and it's so funny how I always seem to connect things that people would not ordinarily connect. Yes. But I love that about writing. It allows you to take things where people didn't think you could take them.
Absolutely. That is so true. And we'll ask you a bit later on when we speak about, you know, how people can reach out to you, whether there's anywhere that we can look for your blog and your writing, and that would be wonderful if you could share something of that with us as well. So going back to the disability side, what do you see as the greatest challenges being faced by people, South Africans, living with disabilities?
Oh, this question is very sad. It's very sad because the list is very long. We are very far behind in terms of where the world is. In creating opportunities for persons with disabilities. So, I see a lot of potential. We absolutely need legislation and policy that will create an environment for persons with disabilities to have some level of upward mobility in life. Surviving off a grant takes away people's dignity. I call the current learnerships that have been put aside for people with disabilities a modern day slavery technique, because we have so many challenges. Disability is very expensive. And to think that there are people who are working for almost a decade and they are working for a stipend of 3,000 rand, that for me is mind-blowing. It's sickening, actually, because these people go through so much to be able to be at work, to show up. They don't get promoted. The company benefits and. So there is no protection for the person with disability. And these problems can only be solved by policy and legislation. This is why I put up my hand to go into politics, not because I'm kind of happy being at home with my babies. But someone has to do it. We need to build an environment where persons with disabilities can live, can play, can work. And Europe has such fantastic ideas of these things where you have communities where person with disabilities lives independently and they have support available to them 24 hours and they get paid for the work that they do. Protected work. We have a social development department that is now fighting the idea of protected work. It's mind-boggling for me. So, yeah. I'm very passionate about this. We have way too much work to do. And I do hope that one day we'll have people who represent us in all three spheres of government to get our issues heard.
What opportunities do you think there are that could be developed into real meaningful change?
I mentioned the learnerships, for instance. These learnerships, instead of constantly going from one learnership to another, our government should have some mechanisms to monitor and evaluate whether or not these are being helpful, whether they're achieving what they're meant to achieve. And then they need to put into place measures where companies can be incentivized to first of all, retain people from these learnerships. And then also to promote them. How many persons with disabilities are in middle management, are in the C-suite, you know? We have countries like Canada. If you are a company that employs over 15 people, you must have an inclusion paper and you must implement it. And this is punishable by a hefty fine. So in the US, it's illegal to not have accessibility. That's part of the law. If our country could go that way, there would be a lot of opportunities for persons with disabilities. Another opportunity that would be a low-lying fruit is making sure that transport is available. And not just daily ride, that you must call 2 weeks in advance. And if you happen to have an interview at 8 o'clock, they're not able to come pick you up until after 10. Life doesn't happen like that. You don't always have the luxury of planning your life 2 weeks in advance. So, lots of things that we need to address. Lots of opportunities that just need to be redressed. And that could have an impact.
Everything, as you mentioned intersectionality earlier, and I think that as intersectionality is a really important concept when it comes to identity, I think the awareness that so many of these challenges are also so connected, and that by shifting one, it makes so many more things possible. But just taking those first small steps can, in fact, have a very significant difference further down the line. They talk about the snowball effect, that a snowball starts off small and through rolling down the mountain, it picks up more snow, more mass, more weight, and can become an avalanche. And I think the same is true in what I'm hearing you saying now.
I couldn't agree more. But we need to start small.
Yeah. Well, every step that we can make, every change, every positive change that we can make will be important.
Yeah.
Nodigela, if people would like to reach out to you, where can they find you online?
I'm everywhere. I'm everywhere. My personal website is nodigela.com, www.nodigela.com. The foundation is thenfi.org, thenfi.org. And you will find me, my name and surname, on LinkedIn, Twitter, or X these days.
It is, isn't it?
Facebook, Instagram. And you mentioned my blog earlier on. On my personal website, nodigela.com, you will also have a link of some of the things I have written. And that link will also lead you to my blog.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And we will add those links into the show notes so that people can find you just by clicking on the links.
Yes, please. Let's connect.
And that's definitely the easiest way to do things. So, as a final question, what advice would you give to a person who has recently acquired a disability? Where should they start?
For me, it was my faith. It was important for me to reach into a higher power. I think as human beings, we all need a North Star. And that will help you even in finding healing, in knowing that you are not alone, knowing that you are safe. Because a lot of what I felt had happened because of what I had experienced, I no longer felt safe. Even the ground under me, which is solid, didn't always feel like it would hold me. So I needed to tap into a higher power, and my God, and my faith, and my family were my North Star. They were able to give me that power and that strength to move forward. And then
carry on.
Giving yourself permission to dream again. I had studied, I mostly had like the highest high heels in my wardrobe. I found flat shoes uncomfortable. So sitting on this chair was not whom I was used to. It wasn't the person I pictured myself to be. So I had to start to dream a different dream for myself. And I had to allow myself, give myself permission to dream that different dream and to be this new person that my new existence or my second chance's life demanded of me to become. Permission to dream again and to find purpose. Yeah. Faith, family as your North Star, and then giving yourself permission to dream again.
Thank you, Nautikala. Those are beautiful words.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy this is finally happening.
It has been really wonderful to chat to you today. And thank you for sharing your words, your thoughts, and your ideas with my community on A Different Way of Seeing.
Thank you for having me.
Hi there, it's Lois. At the start of the episode, I said I would share a little bit with you about the writing of A Different Way of Seeing, my memoir. I started off writing the book as a way of answering the questions that I was receiving of how I accomplish tasks, how I do simple everyday things, and maybe some not quite so simple everyday things as well. What I landed up with became a combination of that, answering questions that I received from numerous sources, and also anecdotes, stories drawn from my life since becoming blind at the age of 21. I've received really good feedback on the book. People tell me it's conversational. They tell me that it's not intimidating and that it's a good read, that they can start reading and get lost in the story that I'm sharing. And for a group of people, as in those with disabilities and particularly blindness, who are often marginalized, that conversation that it starts can be so helpful to break down some of the barriers and leads to inclusion. The book is available in a number of different formats. The best way to find out how to get hold of a copy of the book is to hop onto my website on www.loisstrochan.com and to click on the Books tab. That's loisstrochan.com, loisstrochan.com, and click on the Books tab. You'll be able to find information about the book as well as my other books. You'll find links to reviews and what people have said about the book. And you'll find links to order from the website, from Kindle, from Amazon, or from audible.com. It's all there on the website, loisstrochan.com. So if you're looking for something to read, why not give A Different Way of Seeing a try?
Thank you for listening to A Different Way of Seeing. We'd love to connect with you. So find Lois at loisstrachan.com or Facebook, Lois Strachan Speaker. This podcast was edited by Craig Strachan using Hindenburg Pro. Hindenburg, it's all about the story. The credits are done at Naledi Media. Naledi Media, all your vocal needs under one roof. Read by Charlie Yazi. That's it for now. Thank you for joining us and see you next time when we bring you into the world of seeing differently.